Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Would you please pray with me? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning we get to talk about a really exciting topic, funerals. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not such a perky thing. But in our text, I think it leads us to a couple of things that we can learn from Jesus that will apply to our lives regardless of where we are. So Luke tells us about a funeral. But really, there were two funerals. Why do I say that? We already know that this man died. That was one funeral. But the other funeral was for his mother. And you say, well, she was still alive. And I say, well, the reason we can say that it was her funeral too, in a way, was because of this. Economically, her life now was severely changed. Luke goes into the details enough to give us a picture of what was happening with this poor woman. She was a widow, and she just lost her only son. So in that culture, women received their livelihood, if you will, through their husbands, or if they became a widow, then the oldest son and subsequent sons would take care of their mother. But all of a sudden, this woman had no one. So she's relegated now to relying on the generosity and the kindness of others. Socially, she also died, if you will, because, well, if you know people who have lost a spouse and lost a child, you enter into this status that's just a little bit different to get used to. And so socially, things change a little bit sometimes, and it feels like you're dead in a certain way. Personally, she died also in that no parent should have to bury a child. She was breathing, but she was dead. And my guess is there are some people here this morning that can probably relate to it. And really, when we talk about breathing but dead, I can think of three types of people that description fits them. So first, you have a person like this widow who loses her son. A person who loses a spouse, a child, a parent, a dear friend. And all of a sudden, the depression of losing that person is so dark and so deep, it just is hard to do anything. It's hard to move. It's hard to enjoy the things you once enjoyed. A man in a congregation I served previously was in that place for a while. He was an old Finlander by the name of Eino Olander. He was a patriarch of his family, had a couple of children, grandchildren. He was respected as a businessman in the community. He was active in his church. He was led the music, and Anno just was a wonderful, kind man. He had a special relationship with his oldest grandson, Andy, and it's a relationship that really went further than a normal grandfather-grandson relationship, that special one. Andy was really Anno's friend. They golfed together. They fished together. They talked together. They just had a special bond. One odd February morning on the shores of Lake Superior, a weird freezing rain came. It was very unusual for that area. It immediately coated everything with a sheet of ice. Andy and three of his classmates from high school were traveling on a road, lost control of their vehicle, and all four perished in a car crash. A horrible situation. Anno was breathing, but he was dead. Then there's a second type of person that has a loss of a different kind. Perhaps the loss of a job, a house, maybe the loss of a marriage, loss of a friendship, either by a person moving away or a conflict, and you sort of get stuck. You just don't feel like yourself. You're breathing, but you're dead. Blanche was a person like this. Blanche loved Jim. Now, initially, she loved him from afar. They ran in the same circles in the small city in which they lived, and as soon as she saw him, she just kind of fell in love. He didn't know it. But as they were together and eventually served on the same committee together, spent a little time, all of a sudden love bloomed. The courtship was short, the marriage was quick, and everything seemed absolutely fantastic. Blanche adored Jim, but Jim adored whiskey and eventually adored a female bartender, and he left his marriage for her. Blanche, she was breathing, but she was dead. Then there's another kind of person. We'll call this person David. David's been a member of Christ the Vine for years. I was baptized here. I was confirmed here. I was married here. I'll be buried here. Oh, yeah, Christ the Vine is my church. I've given my offering for many years. Now, I only come to worship about, once a month because of my job. It's so demanding. And even in the busy season, I can only make it once every 3 or 4 months. Oh, yeah. I love the church. Very important to me. But it's interesting that you can't tell David apart from a Hindu or a Muslim or a Mormon or someone who is a nun that doesn't have any connection to a church. Jesus spoke about a person like this who said on the last day, "Lord, Lord," called out to Jesus. And in Matthew 7, he says, "I don't know you. Go away from me." Now, some of you are automatically thinking, "Oh, yeah, I know people like that." But let me tell you this. Without Christ, you too are spiritually dead. You may be breathing, but you're dead in a different way. And the fact of the matter is, we are all, by our own nature, that way. Our sin causes us to turn away from God and run as fast as we can away from His grace, away from His lordship, away from Him. Spiritually dead. We may be breathing, but we're dead. You know people probably in every one of those categories, don't you? And maybe that's you. Maybe not right now, but maybe that's been you at some point in time. And I think our text today from Luke can help us see this in a little different light, because Jesus is in the business of ruining a perfectly good funeral. If you have your worship folders, let's turn to page 10 and just take a closer look at what is happening here. So Jesus is approaching this town, and it's a sad but familiar scene of meeting a funeral procession that's coming out of the town. Now, it says that there is a great crowd with them. So Luke is starting to paint a picture of what's really happening here. We don't know how Luke knows all these things, but he starts to give us a glimpse of saying, hey, see what's happening here. A great crowd is in this funeral procession, and he tells about this woman. She's a widow. She has no husband. She lost her only son. So maybe it's obvious as she's coming out behind the coffin that she's the only one in the close part there of following this the beginning part of the funeral procession. And so all of a sudden we start to piece things together, and it's kind of interesting, as Nathan actually pointed this out with the children's message, that unusually no one comes and asks Jesus to intervene. That's a very common occurrence. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, heal me. Give me sight. Help me walk. But no one comes to see Jesus. It's almost like they've relegated themselves to the fact of death. And in the end, we know this, don't we? There's only two things in life that are sure: death and... Thank you. But Jesus knows what is needed before anyone asks him anything. That's the case with Jesus. He knows the pain and the sorrow that people go through. As they are proceeding, Jesus comes up to her and tells her to do the most unusual thing: stop weeping. What? Really? But then Jesus reaches out and touches the coffin. And he risks breaking the rules here, because for the Jews, you could not be in contact with anything dead, or you were ritually unclean, and you had to go through sacrifices and a procedure to be clean again. But as the case with Jesus, with something that is dead or a person that is ill, he doesn't get the illness. He doesn't become ritually unclean. Rather, he's the one that gives health. He's the one that gives healing. He's the one that gives purity and cleanses. Jesus always has a way of flipping things around. And then you know what happens to Jesus here in verse 13. Pardon me for using this word, but I love to say it. Jesus had splugna. That's the Greek word for compassion. Isn't it a fun word? Splugna. And you know what it means? It means compassion in the gut, deep down, a very powerful feeling. And you've probably had that in seeing a scene or sensing something. You had this compassion that causes you want to do something, a pity that runs deep. That's splugna, as used in the Greek language. And Jesus has compassion on this woman when he sees her. You know, Jesus' compassion will not allow him to remain passive in the face of death. That's still the case. Jesus' compassion will not allow him to remain passive in the face of death. And the young man
rises up because Jesus says, arise! And he speaks. No one else says anything, but the young man speaks. I can imagine everybody's going, oh my word, this is, you know, can't say anything. Okay. Yeah. Arise, Jesus says, because when Jesus meets death, that's what he is able to say. Arise. And he earns the right to do that because within 2 years, there's another widow whose only son is dying and dies on a cross. But joy comes to that widow, Mary, when the words resound throughout the world. He is risen. Jesus Christ has power over death, and his compassion will not allow him to stay passive in the face of death. And that is still the case. Jesus Christ rose from the dead because he is God. He has power over death. His words mean something. When we are forgiven by Jesus, we are forgiven. We are released from the punishment of death because his blood already paid the price. So where are you? Are you in one of these situations like Anel was, or like Blanche was? Or are you just rolling along chasing other gods like David? In each of those situations, Jesus' compassion for you will not allow him to remain passive. But he says to you, arise! And he has power over death to bring you up out of that place again. Because Jesus earned the right to do it, and he has the power to do it. Arise! Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds, and keep them in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are a compassionate God who sees us in our most difficult times, times when we're just stuck. We thank you that you speak words of hope and life into our lives, saying, arise. And as you have risen from the dead, we too will rise, not just on the last day, but even now. Amen. We continue with the sermon hymn, We Will Rise, for the fourth verse.